I know I said last week I wanted to go on into the atmosphere of intercession. I don't know. I'm just felt I needed to continue with the atmosphere of relationship today. You notice we have four chairs. The four chairs represent the seating in an automobile. The automobile is a 2019. Some of you that have been in the services in the last few weeks, by the way, the messages, I believe, are all online. You can hear them online. That's a wonderful service that is provided. It's on the website, if you are a website kind of a person. And I'm going to do a small review just because I felt I should, because it leads into what we're talking about. So we've got our cars. We're not going to fill the automobile like we have the last few Sundays. But we just want you to know that our automobile is the 2019. It's called the Vision. It's going somewhere. But it usually doesn't go anywhere until people are in it. Okay? If she's empty. Okay? The Vision is not, you're not going to get to where you want to go. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. They don't know where to go. Okay? Be rest assured that God is in control of your pathway, of your journey. Okay? Like I said before, God loves you. By the way, I know that there are some people, they say, well, I really don't need the church. I can serve God at home. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But I'll tell you what you miss. You miss God's school. You miss the interaction. You miss the relationships. In our chair, in the driver's seat Don was actually he was our driver. In the driver's seat is relationship. In the passenger seat is worship. Worship always flows out of relationship. Worship always flows out of relationship. In the back seat was administration and was program. Program always flows out of administration. If you get these people reversed, you will have all kinds of different things. Matter of fact, we made mention a few weeks ago that if, say, there's a youth event and somebody spills something on the carpet, there was a pizza party or whatever, immediately somebody will say the church is messed up and administration kicks in and things begin to happen and feelings begin to arise. Let's just fire the youth pastor because, I mean, things of the church was messed up. We become more concerned about the incident than we do the relationship, the restoration of the relationship. When you read the Word of God, relationship is really important. Jesus said of the commandments, he said, when a lawyer actually come to him and said, we have all these commands, which are the greatest? And he said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In both of these cases, it has to deal with relationship. Worship flows out of relationship. But you see, what happens is, if we get them out of order, the church will be out of order. The vision will not be able to move. It'll move, but it may not be able to necessarily move the way that is accordance with God's purpose and plan, because it becomes all about the administration. We got to get things done. In the early church, they begin to talk about the widows weren't being looked after. There was an administration problem. They begin to see it. They tried to reconcile it, and there was a lot of stuff going on. In fact, some thought that this group was getting looked after more than this group, and there became a disturbance in their relationship. And the church began to struggle a little bit from there. And actually, in the church, in the early church, there was at one point, they were at a point in time when the Jews didn't want to really receive the Gentiles so much. A relationship problem. And the Bible says there was great dissension among them. Did the church move forward? Actually, the church moves forward better in relationship when they were, as an example, going from house to house, sharing the Word of God and sharing and partaking with one another in communion. Do we have the understanding of this so far? I trust that we do. That's what we talked about the last few weeks. And anyway, I want to start at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Says, just don't pretend to love others. Really love them. This is in the NLT I'm reading from. If it happens to be a little bit different on the screen, at least you'll have the picture. Just don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And then it uses the word, take delight in honoring one another. Honor and value. Honor and value. How do you honor somebody that you have no value of? And if we, as a matter of fact, I think I used a little illustration. If we had a motorhome and we were on our way home from our trip. By the way, I'm not parked out front of the church here. I'm parked out back. I'm pulling a canoe. We're gonna go to Mount Carlton for a few days and do some wilderness camping. My wife and I and we enjoy the wilderness. The wilderness we do. Not that we don't love people, we just love the wilderness and the quiet. It's so quiet there. It's New Brunswick's best kept secret. It really is. You can do fishing there, although we won't be fishing just for you fishermen. Won't be doing any fishing this way. But you know, so if we had a motorhome, and my wife says, you know, let me drive home, and I would say, okay, I don't have a motorhome and I don't have a garage on my house. Just so you know, we have a carport. But anyway, if my wife was motoring and she said when we got home, I can back the motorhome back into the driveway fine, and I would say, okay, good, as long as you can handle it's good. But she backs up and hits the garage door, and the garage door is all banged up, and you know, at that point I have to make a decision. What's more important? What's of more value, my wife or the garage door and the motorhome? Sometimes we think things are more important and we value things more than people. Our relationship is of utmost importance, because when we gather together, we want worship. Those that worship God must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. And it's really hard to worship Him in spirit and truth if there are other things that are crowding out the true worship that is from the heart, you see. We will not value. We will not honor what we do not value. I value my relationship with my wife more than things. And this scripture says, take delight in honoring each other. And there's ways that we can honor one another. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, care for the flock that God has entrusted you, watch over willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. One of the reasons why we honor and value one another is because they, they're people that are created by God. Now, I realize that portion of Scripture right there in verse 2, Peter is talking to those that are in ministry. But he says in verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you, listen to this, and all of you dress yourself. Verse 5, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. That is awesome. Now, in this relationship deal, you know, we think it's all about us and people ought to, you know, come and look after our needs. But like Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. And in a very real way, when you minister to people, you honor them. Okay, this is not a self-proclaim. I must have it in order to live here or to worship here or to be here. This is a this place in relationship must be from the heart of humility. Jesus took on the form of a human. He took on, if I can say it like this, humility. You know, he did not even consider himself as being equal. He was, but he did not consider himself as being equal with God. He totally became a humble servant. How do you serve one another? How do you serve one another? We want to be served. We think it's all about our needs. It's all about our desires. It's all about our special type of music. It's all about us, right? And when you, it's really hard to have that that dress of humility. We're supposed to clothe ourselves with humility. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. We can't do this on our own. We do it best when we work under the guidance and the instruction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Romans 12 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring and preferring one another." That also means to consider one another. You know, and I could elaborate on that a whole lot, but I have more that I feel I need to share with you. 1 Peter 2, verse 15 says, "And so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And I thought, wow, with well-doing. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's how Jesus walked. Glory to Jesus. That's how he walked. He ministered to the oppressed, and he ministered to those that were around about him. By doing well, you may silence the ignorance. Interesting scripture where Jesus said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples." How? By your love for one another. Is it only our relationship with God that is important? No, it's our relationship with other people. It's worship flows out of relationship. Okay. And you may be an administrator, you may be a good programmer, and you may be used in all of that, but you really do have to keep your focus that our relationship is right. Honor all men, verse 17 of 1 Peter, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You cannot honor somebody and criticize and judge them at the same time. In fact, James chapter 4 says, don't speak, verse 11, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging the law of God. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge. Yeah. James 3, verse 7 says, people can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, and no one can tame the tongue. It is restlessly evil and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and our Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image, those made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it says this ought not to be. If you remember last week, we had some folks that helped us with a little illustration. We had some board here, and we had a couple. One fellow had the sledgehammer, the other had this roofing hammer, and the couple, I think he had the sledgehammer, and it was Don and Gerald that had the hammer. And I asked them with the board, I said, "Now, I would like you to take that board that we have here and pound it as if it is the devil." And what did they do? Then I said, "Now I want you to take the person that's with you. I want them to take their hand and place it on the board. You're going to do the same thing." Nobody moved. But you see, we do the same thing. When we say things, you know what? We are all flawed people. We are all born in sin. We have to deal with this thing. And we try and tame the tongue, but the Bible says no man can tame the tongue. God said, I believe it was in Jeremiah we used last week, God says, isn't my word like a hammer that it smashes the rocks? We say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I have found that to be untrue. That when we speak and we criticize and we do stuff, sometimes we don't even realize what we've said that would hurt somebody else. And it's we ought to be using our energies against the devil. But what happens is we speak out things, sometimes unknowing, we have no idea that we've even hurt them or how badly we hurt them, because we speak it out. We don't know what they've been through that day. We don't know the things that have gone on. If you notice, these tools are not brand new. We chose them because they are old. And I'll tell you, it's usually the old things that were said in the past that hurt the most. And what happens is that stuff happens. It builds up, those words build up and build up and build up and build up. Brother Harold, you probably deal with this in counseling people. How many times will people say, you know, I had a stuttering problem years ago. When I was a kid. It was based on fear. By the way, fear has torment. But that stuttering problem, and I said to God, I said, look, if I'm going into ministry, because I was called when I was 7 years old, if I'm going into ministry, I'm going to need you to do something with my speech problem. I couldn't stutter. I stuttered so badly. I was embarrassed to stand up in school. I was embarrassed to do almost anything. I was almost embarrassed when it come time to church. I could sing all right. You see, it's interesting. I could sing all right. But when it came time to speaking, when it came time, we grew up in a church that we were mentored into leadership. So there was a youth president and a youth vice president and a chairman and a treasurer and a secretary. I played the treasurer role, and then I did the vice president for a while, and then I did the president. But the fact is, when it came time to speaking before them, I couldn't help myself, because I had such a stuttering problem. So I needed God to help me with it. And when this says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, it not ought so to be. I remember my mom said, Ron, you're so stupid. She didn't realize. She'll tell you today, she was so sorry for the things that she spoke to me, you see, that were so hurtful to me, you know. Whether I was in school, they would ask me a question and I'd try and respond, but I would pause and I would, oh man, it wasn't good. But out of the same mouth, you get the idea, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, and we don't realize what people have gone through in their past. Nobody realized what I had gone through in my past. At times I would have anywhere from 1 to 15 kids trying to chase me to beat my head in. You talk about being bullied. But I've learned how to use those circumstances in my life to be able to instruct. I've seen a lot of things in almost 40 years of ministry. But I also realize that there are many giftings and abilities, and sometimes we look at one another and we don't understand who they really are. We look at their outside, but we really don't understand who they are. God has placed such gifts and abilities, and sometimes we are critical. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, it says, yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make any less, it doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that be anything less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body We're an ear. How would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Notice as God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. But we have many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. There is that relationship deal again, you see. But sometimes we don't realize. I've learned to see people according to their giftings, not according to their outside. I love to see what is inside somebody. And by the way, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. It's really fascinating. That 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, there should be no schisms in the body. That all members should have, sister, you used the word care. I think I heard the word care twice. And it's true. We don't know really, we don't know how to do this thing of body ministry sometimes. I've been in some churches, ministering in some churches, and what they'll do is say, so, brother, we've got a very friendly church. Let me say it like this. Just because you shake hands doesn't mean you're a friendly church. It's really interesting. I can say, God bless you. Doesn't mean I'm friendly. Caring for people. You know, you get to know who's here. Boy, I tell you, I was blessed beyond measure. Last week when we had our friends visit us from Blackville. And I was blessed beyond measure when I saw people go up and talking with my friends. They're part of the body of Christ. This body of Christ is humongous. It is bigger than us that are here. There's other members of the body of Christ that really do know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I could share with you more stories. Even people that are Catholics know Jesus in a very real way. I will tell you one little quick little story. I work with corrections, and by the way, just because I do a whole lot in our area in the Miramichi doesn't mean that I am not thinking about what God wants for you here. I'm talking, I'm listening, I'm even during the nighttime, God is speaking to me regarding here. And the recreation director came to me and he said, Ron, he said, I've been invited to go to a Kersil weekend. Now, it's a Catholic retreat. And so I said to him right away, I said, man, you got to go, Dennis. You just got to go. I've never been to Kersil weekend. I've been invited many times. But I haven't been able to go. Anyway, my friend, he went and he finds Jesus in a very real way. In a very awesome way. Of all the times that we talked together, and he would ask me questions about my faith, and he grew up Catholic, and I tell you what, I watched this thing happen. When he come back, he said, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I says, Dennis, that's awesome. He would find Christ at a Kersil weekend. We go, oh my God, how can they do that? How can that happen? I just know that God keeps his word and that God, it's his will that all men be saved everywhere. And God can use things and people and situations that we can't even imagine. Somebody birthed you into the kingdom. And I believe somebody was praying as we were for our friend Dennis. And he'd come back and I was reading and he said, I got this little book called The Daily Bread. And I'm thinking, where in the world did he get that? I don't know where he got it from, but he started reading the Daily Bread. And he said, and then I started looking at those scriptures that are in there. I didn't know where some of those scriptures were even found. There's Cluthians, and, you know, he would come up with these names that he didn't know how to pronounce some of those Bible books of the Bible. And I'd say, Dennis, I'll show you how to use the concordance. It was like, man, it was like I was giving him meat and potatoes. Right there, he was just gobbling out right up. Who doesn't like steak? He was eating on it. He'd come back with some more questions. Was I the one that was instrumental in leading them to the Lord? No. We had a part. We just kind of planted seed. Just kind of planted seed. Look, I can't cause the seed to grow, but I can certainly plant. What happens is God waters, and that thing, God gets the increase, and the job gets done, and he found Jesus, you see. And but even though he goes to another church, I still care for him. Why? Because he's a member of the body of Christ. And he had to be off work for a few days. He received an injury at work and had to be off for a few days, a few months. And God began to give him songs. He's a musician. So somebody said, well, you need to make a recording of those songs you made. Well, he got this Pentecostal to play the piano for him on his for a CD. And that particular song that he wanted me to play had to do with Mary. And he said, well, because, you know, people say, you know, well, you, when you come to Christ, you don't need Mary and the whole thing. I just said to him, Dennis, if your beads make you feel good, do your beads. I'm not getting hung up on that stuff. And I'll tell you why. Because I want him to be covered in the love of God. Because I know what the Spirit of God will do. We've had many, many talks about Mary, about the beads, and about the whole thing. It's not my job to clean them up. Did you hear what I just said? Not my job to clean them up. I believe I do my part, and it's God's job to do the cleaning. And already the Spirit of God is working on him. I'm telling you, it's changed his language. It's incredible. God doesn't want schisms in his body. He would that members should have the same care for one another. Even though he goes to a different place, I care for him like as if he was in our own congregation. Glory to God. You know, it's interesting. We can have all the gifts. We can read from 1 Corinthians 12 and talks about the gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, we get some of the gifts and how they operate in the church. But plugged right in between the two is chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, it's just a noise. Love is considered, actually. Does not think of its own, but thinks of others. It bears no evil, thinks no evil. When you read the love chapter, is everything God is because God is love. But you see, we are to replicate, to do and act how Jesus acts. Terry, if you don't mind, I'd like to use you guys as illustrations. You don't have to come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But their both name is Terry Robinson. And if they were to come up here, well, you've seen them so many times. Even though they have the same name, they don't look the same. They do not look the same. You know, I'm glad for their uniqueness. You see. But, you know, when we stand before Christ, we look into a mirror, what do we see? You see. James talks about that. The two Terrys don't look the same, you know. And then you have the image, your image, and then you have Christ's image. And in God's family, he wants us to portray the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Care for the flock, 1 Peter says, care for the flock in the same way. You who are younger must accept, submit, yield to the authority of the elders. And all of you dress yourself in humility. We've got to dress ourselves in humility. I worked in a ministry that we had beautiful worship. We would have guest speakers come in, and many guest speakers, and the word of the Lord would come forth, many prophetic words. And I don't know how many times that the speakers would say, quite frankly, they said, we have this music that we're hearing out of this place is as good as Hosanna Integrity. We had the drums and we had, you know, the organ. Yes, the organ. A lot of churches don't have any organs today. And we had some guitars. And they said, quite frankly, it was as good as anything that you hear on Hosanna or any other music. But I have to tell you, friends, I said, worship flows out of relationship. We did not care. In fact, the one gave a word of instruction to us that we were supposed to care for one another. And she said, you will need to cover this worship ministry in prayer and in intercession. Worship flows out of relationship. I watched it. We had good worship. There are churches that have wonderful worship. But they haven't reconciled their differences in their relationship. In that church, keeping the big givers became a priority. Keeping the big givers happy. Building more rules to keep administration happy. Oh, man. Hebrews says, verse 14, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Did you hear that in regards to bitterness? I mean, they got into talking about the placement. They would fight over the placement of monitors, for crying out loud. They would fight over their placement of where they were on the platform. I saw this thing going, hammers going all the time. I'm going, dear God. I watched in one ministry as even the pastor and the board went toe-to-toe against one another. And it became... It mushroomed not only in their board meetings, but it mushroomed in the congregation meetings. I watched it. Watch out that no poisonous fruit of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Look at folks. What's more important, being right or being in right relationship? You see, this is as serious as serious as serious. In this particular church I was referring to, as I said, worship usually flows out of relationship. But that thing was only the beginning of sorrows. In that congregation ended up to be broken marriages. In fact, even amongst the board. Raging meetings. Much offense spread like cancer. And when we left that ministry, I felt grieved because everybody talked about the Spirit of the Lord that was in the building. And I would say to them over and over and over again, look, the building is nice, but God does not inhabit a building anymore. He inhabits people. And people, when it's, you know, because of two or three or more are gathered in his name, the Bible says there he is in the midst of them. You see, their eyes are not open to the fact that his presence is there. It's like I said a number of weeks ago. You know, we try and do all kinds of things to try and bring the presence of God. Hey, God's bigger than your prayer. God is bigger than your praise. God is here. God is here. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The things that disrupt is the fact that we can't hear him or can't see him working is because of the relationship stuff that's between us. After I had left and I'd been away for a few weeks, a fellow says to me, I met him, I was getting gas at one of the local gas stations, and this businessman came up to me, and he was getting gas, and he said, Ron, you know you're going to go back there to that ministry. I said, I don't know. I tell you what. I said, all I know is that God's given us a regional anointing. I don't understand what that is. I've never spoken it out of my mouth. I've never heard a thing before. I just knew that God had given us a regional anointing to work with other faith groups and people and communities and the whole life. I was driving in the car in the back seat of the ministry that we were in for a short time. There was the pastor of the church that we were helping out in the church at that time. Beside him was a prophet that was from the States, and we're going by the building of the ministry we were a part of. Going by, and this man of God says, that ministry is not going to be going very much longer. God says he has written Ichabod on it. My heart sank. These were people that I had ministered for and to. I tell you what, I had a hard time that God would write Ichabod means the Spirit of the Lord has departed. All the relationship stuff, instead of it becoming a place of healing, which we saw many miracles and signs and wonders in that place, my heart broke. And a couple of years ago, I took pictures. I mean, this was a large building, 4 floors, basement, 3 floors, large building. And I took pictures when they took machinery and smashed that building to the ground. They still can't sell that property. I watched it disintegrate. So what I'm teaching you here is very, very real to me. I've walked through this stuff over the years. But I've watched God work. It's like I've been on training for 35, 40 years that God has helped us. I'm telling you, this worship is not fun anymore without relationship. Administration's not fun anymore. Program is not fun anymore if there's not relationship. The relationships have to be healed. And I will tell you this. There may be times when you will have to go back in history and mend those things that are wrong. And mend those feelings, those bitternesses, those words. You have to go back to the place of departure. It doesn't matter if you were right. You may have even spoken the truth, okay? But sometimes what happens because of things that have been spoken to us, we can speak truth, but we speak out of our own hurts. We don't realize that it's going to hurt somebody else, that we're taking the hammer to the very body of Christ. We hurt them. We don't mean to hurt them, but we've just spoken something from an attitude and from stuff that we've had. For all who are in the family of God who've been saved and are placed together, you've been placed together, you've been joined, you've been grafted into God's program. Staying in the building program of God will mean repenting and forgiving and being reconciling with one another. You cannot do it on your own. You must have the Spirit and the power of God. In order for there to be real worship, you must have real relationship. There's got to be a caring for one another. I don't know of the folks, occasionally I hear about somebody that's in the hospital. And some of you think, well, the pastor, if we only had a pastor, then they would get visited. My friends, you care for one another. If somebody's in the hospital, you love one another. I know you do. When we've come here, we've felt your love. I don't know when I've ever had two people that would come and help me with my keyboard. Like two people carry my keyboard. To me, that's awesome. That's looking after one another. I am thrilled when I see people participate in the service. You see, it's awesome to me for other people to be leading worship, to be playing the piano, to using their gifts. But you have to have, it's God that's placed you in the body for a reason. You care for one another. Yeah. So if someone's in the hospital, when Bible says when one hurts, we all hurt. Yeah. You can't, no matter who comes as pastor for you, you can't leave it to just the pastor to care for one another. You can't leave it to just the pastor to be out in the community to lead people to Jesus. In fact, my wife and I were reading a book together, and the one pastor, he said, you know, I got a telephone call one day, and there was this lady that she said, Pastor, you got to come over right now because my neighbor wants to come to Jesus, and I need you to lead him to Jesus. So he said, I'll be right over. And so he gets in his car, and he turns it on, and he's on his way over, And the Lord says to him, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to help dear sister so-and-so lead her neighbor to you. He says, turn around and go home. What? Turn around and go home. Well, Lord, but she needs me. Turn around and go home. So he turned around, went home, called her up and says, dear sister, I'm really sorry. I cannot come and lead your neighbor to Jesus. Well, pastor, who's going to do it? He says, you are. Well, how can I do that? He said, well, listen, do you talk about your family? Well, yes, all the time. Well, if you can talk about your family, then can't you talk about my family? Can't you talk about your, you know? If you can talk about your family, you can talk about Jesus' family. Oh, pastor, you make that sound so easy. You can talk about your family. You can talk about Jesus' family, how to come into his family. Well, pastor, I can do that. So, a couple hours later, gets a knock at the door, and here's two ladies standing at his door, and said, Pastor, this is my neighbor. I just want you to meet her. She came to Jesus. Praise God. How'd you do that? Well, I just told her about how to come into the family of God. It's easy, friends. So he asked the pastor, asked the Lord. He said, Lord, what was the deal here? How come I couldn't go and help her, you know, lead her neighbor to Jesus? And the Lord said, well, if you'd have done that, you would have stolen her soul winner crown. He went, God, forgive me for so many times I've done that. We want people to come to church to find Jesus. When you read the scripture, people found Jesus outside the church. You minister to people that no one else can minister to. You let your light shine in front of people that no one else can. You minister to them out of your heart. And really, it just takes a little humility, because we don't want to share Christ because we want to look cool. We want to, you know, we want to look right. You see. In Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn and pray. Is it all about prayer? Well, it's more than about prayer. Because prayer is actually communicating with God. And God wants you to communicate with him so that he can lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, you say, well, okay, Pastor, there's stuff that's happened in our relationships. I recognize that we've had difficulty in some of those areas. That's okay. Bible says in James chapter 5, confess your sins, King James uses the word faults, to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Wow. Even when you celebrate communion, I'm almost through. Even when you celebrate communion. Some go through sickness and all kinds of different stuff that comes into their lives, and they don't know what in the world hit them. But because we do not discern the body rightly, because we don't discern the body rightly, We're busy judging the body for what they do, when we ought to be reviewing the gifts, but even more, by your fruits. But actually, the Bible says, by your fruits, you will know them. Doesn't mean we're to be fruit inspectors, but we're supposed to allow the love of God, the work of God, to work in them. You don't have to be responsible. It's not your responsibility to change people. It is your responsibility to show them Christ and to lead them and to disciple them. Oftentimes we figure when somebody comes to Jesus, we need the pastor. We need the pastor to disciple them. Yeah, we're actually, when my wife and I had our sons, we did not pass off my sons to somebody else to raise. Okay. We cared for our sons. We led them up in the way that they were to go. We instructed them. We did not pass them off, but we do that spiritually because somebody comes to Christ. Well, we just got to let the pastor do it, or let the board members do it, or let somebody that has more education than me do it. Why do we do that? We're to care for one another. We're to pray for one another. The Bible's so very clear. Glory to God. Yeah. We eat meals, and then our meals that are inside us have to be allowed to digest. Over the last number of weeks, we've given you some material that will help you, God's Word. You're going to have to digest. You're going to have to allow it to sink in. You're going to have to allow it to bring healing to you so that you can, in turn, freely you've received, freely give. You know, we figured that, you know, if our relationship is not right, if our relationship is not right, and administration and programs is not functioning where it should, we can get into the area of control and manipulation. That's what administration and the programs will do if they are the front runners in the front seat. I've seen control and manipulation. In fact, I had this young minister come to me. He wanted to come in and ask me, he said, can I come in for your basketball program that you do? And I said, sure. He wasn't about coming in for basketball. He was not even a basketball player, not even sportsy at all. Afterward, he said to me, the reason why I'm here, and I thought, okay, I knew this was coming. I would like to ask you what the key is for your ministry. And I said, the two keys are this: learn to be a good forgiver, recognize manipulation and control, and stay out of it. He said, you're serious? Yes, I am. I've seen too much of it. I've seen too much of it. The church has become a revolving door, not to be this way. By this will all men know that you are Christ's disciples, by your love for one another. When you care for one another, when you look after, feeding hungry and those that are destitute, we do it to Jesus when we look after those areas. Wow. Next week we want to deal with the atmosphere of intercession, the place of intercession in our relationships. It's very, 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 very powerful. Lord God, thank you for your word. I'm so conscious, Lord, that sometimes your word is like a hammer and it smashes rocks and things in us. I ask that you would bring healing instruction. You've already instructed us, but I'm asking God that you would heal relationships. The world knows what broken relationships are. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us, to teach us how to care for one another, that we would speak truth in love, that you would heal us of our own stuff, that our words would become like a hammer against the works of the devil, because we do not battle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers and dark places. But oh God, I ask that you would work in us, that you would create in us clean hearts. Renew a right spirit within us. In Jesus' name. I ask that the healing salve of your Holy Spirit to touch the brokenness in the name of Jesus. You came to bind up the brokenhearted. There's so much brokenness in us from the past and all kinds of different stuff, but I ask you to bring healing to those areas and help us, Lord God, to show you, to show forth your love. Open eyes, open ears, and soften hearts that we can turn to you because we see you at work. We hear you at work. Soften our hearts so we'll be able to respond to your work in our lives. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for blessing your people. I ask that you would bless them in their going out and in their coming in, in their rising up and their sitting down. I ask that you'd bless the works of their hands in the name of Jesus. And you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding. I ask that the very light of your countenance would come upon them. Ooh. Wow. I thank you for each young person, child, and adult, and grandparent that is a part of this congregation. And I ask, Lord, that you would make them one, even as you are. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Praise God. Amen.